Welcome to Trinity. We're a church family learning how to follow Jesus in the city of Nottingham. Our vision is to see the church on fire and the city alive.
In case you missed it the first time round, toilets are off limits in the baptisms. Good, there's a queue. That's a positive sign. All right, Amy is going to speak to us, and then we will head into a moment of celebration of baptism today. So would you extend a hand? I'm going to pray for Amy, and we will hear what God's word has to say to us today. Father, thank you so much for the gift of this moment, for the gift that you've spoken. You've spoken through Jesus. And as we hear his word preached to us, would you bring it alive in our hearts? Would let this be an experience of life for all of us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Am I on? Can you hear me all right? Good. Excellent. Well, huge welcome from me as well. Just add my welcome to Johnny. It's so fun to see this room packed. So very exciting. Thank you for being here. We're excited to see you guys get baptized. But a little while ago, say a couple of months ago, I was in Sainsbury's local, good old Sainsbury's local in West Bridgford, and I was buying, you know, sort of buying whatever, getting some fuel, can't quite remember. And as I was in the queue, there was a bit of a sort of a commotion happening by the till. And this woman was clearly struggling to pay, you know, struggling to pay for her fuel, or something was happening. Everyone was sort of looking to see what was going on. And I felt this sort of like nudge, you know, as you do sometimes, the Holy Spirit nudges you. And I felt like I was to go and see what was going on. And it was a moment to extend generosity. So I got my card out of my pocket and I went to the till and I said, I don't know what's going on, but you know, let me pay. If your card's not working, let me pay for your fuel and your groceries. And she turned to me with the most horrified look on her face, absolutely shocked, and basically said, No, it's like, no, certainly not. And I was like, ah, like this horrible, horrible moment. It was like the offer was too good to be true. It was literally like I had offered to take her dirty laundry home and wash it for her. That was the look on her face. You know, it was kind of like, what's the catch? What's the catch here? You know, surely she wouldn't be giving me her money without something in return. It was an amazing response. And this is the attitude that we see so often, don't we, in our wider culture. This sort of inability to extend and receive grace. You know, when we think about cancel culture, anyone heard of cancel culture? You know, completely, this idea that we're completely cutting people off, completely cutting people out for maybe just saying the wrong thing, or saying the wrong thing like decades before, completely banished from being known. And actually, I was reading about this, and another word for cancel culture is called mass shaming. It's like awful, no grace, no forgiveness. Our culture is hardwired, isn't it? If we're honest, hardwired not to receive. We're wary of a free gift. And the resurrection of Jesus that we are celebrating today, that we have sung about, that we have read about, Easter Day, is a gift of pure grace. It is a gift of pure grace, a gift too good to warrant not discovering about, to not finding out about, even for the most in this room, the most skeptical among you. It's too good. It's too good to not find out about. And so Johnny read at the beginning of the service, he read the account of the resurrection from John's Gospel, and we're going to look into it. We're going to have a look into it. So if you've got a Bible or your phone, feel free to have a look, read it for yourselves, but it's John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. And this account of the resurrection is soaked in grace. Completely soaked in grace. So what is grace for those that are like, what is this word we hear around? You know, what does it mean? It means unmerited favor. A gift that you simply don't deserve, basically. Grace is a gift that you simply don't deserve. So the context here then that Jesus or Johnny, you know, potato. But the context here that Johnny read earlier is that we understand, don't we, that Jesus has been crucified. He has died on the cross on Good Friday that we celebrated on Good Friday, or we thought and remembered on Good Friday. And his body has been taken to a tomb with a massive stone rolled over it. So this is the context of this reading here. And on the third day, Mary comes to the empty tomb. And we know the end of the story, but she doesn't know the end of the story at this point. And when you read this text, you can feel the desperation in the passage. You can feel her emotion. It says that she was crying, that she was weeping, trying to find Jesus. And so from this passage, what can we learn about grace in the resurrection of Jesus? Really quickly, first thing, that grace comes to find us. Grace comes to find us. And we see this with Mary. She's trying to find Jesus. She's trying to find a dead man, right? Her understanding of him is too small. She's stuck in her human category, her human understanding. Understandably, by the way, not bashing Mary. He's dead, and she is trying to find his body, the person that she loved. Because we all know, don't we, that dead people don't rise. But Jesus is gracious. He's so utterly gracious that he doesn't come as a superhero, proving his resurrection in a bolt of lightning, but he comes with a gentle word. He comes with a gentle word, not rebuking her for not understanding the plan that he has already told her about in his life, but he whispers her name. He whispers her name. And he doesn't say, you know, it's me, ta-ta, you know, ta-da, it's me, you know. That isn't what's happening here. He whispers her name and he says, Mary. Mary. And she recognizes the unique way he says it. And in that moment, her eyes are opened. She had seen a gardener that we read about, but now she sees Jesus. And she says, Rabboni, teacher, I know that voice. Jesus reveals himself to Mary by intimately revealing himself to her. He knows her. And she could not have found him had he not come to find her. This is grace. He's saying to her that you are mine. And this is what happens today. This is what he does today. He comes to us, knocking on the door of our hearts, whispering our names. He comes whispering our names to trust him. Whispering, saying, trust me, I know you better than you know yourself. The greatest person in the universe, God in Christ, comes to you and I and calls us his. Perhaps you're sat here, if you're really honest, exhausted, trying to work out who you are. Trying desperately to figure out who you are, your identity, what you're about. He wants to show you who you are, that you are his, that he calls you by name. and that this is the truest thing about you. And you can be sure that he comes to find you turning up in your everyday life, calling you by name, whispering your name. The question is, can you hear him? Can you hear him? Are you able to get past the skepticism, the human categories, the human understandings, and hear the voice of grace calling you? Secondly, grace gives us a new future. We understand in the scriptures, we read in Luke 8, if you ever wanted to go back there, that Mary, who has discovered the tomb, the empty tomb, that Mary had 7 demons delivered. In her past life, she would have been seen as the mad woman. She would have been marginalized. She would have probably walked the streets, like sort of speaking out to herself. She was certainly not a pillar of the community, put it that way. And yet what we see here in this account is that Jesus chooses her. Jesus chooses her to be the very first witness to the resurrection of Jesus. That this outcast, a crazy past life, he chooses her to be the first witness, the first messenger of the good news of Jesus being alive. Choosing a woman that we can't go into is crazy enough in this culture. If you want evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, that in itself speaks for itself. But not just a woman, this woman. It's such an upside down kingdom that we're invited into. We're not saved by how good we are, how respectable our past is, how moral we are, not by our work, but his work, not for those who are strong, but for those who say they are weak. And if you're sat today confident in your life, proud of your life, or full of regret, full of shame, insecure about your background, think you've messed up too much, he comes to you. The only way to God is on the grounds of grace. Nothing else. And Mary was given a new future. Was given a new future. She goes from the margins to messenger. Margins to messenger. That's for all of us. Margins to messenger of the best news this world possibly could hear. The resurrection gives us the possibility for life transformation, for greater liberation, for freedom, a life not defined by our past, but by our future with God. Grace transforms us. When you experience and receive grace, the grace of the resurrection, you cannot not be moved. You can't be moved. You can't not be moved. It's so unbelievably powerful. It will change your life. When we allow Jesus into our lives, we enter into this new humanity. We die with Christ to the power of sin and death in our lives, and we rise to new life in him. We are then filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, that then lives within us, guiding and enabling us to partner with him in this new life. It is possible. It really is possible to live without fear. If you are crippled in fear, it is possible to live without fear. Addiction, shame, and guilt, that pressing death on our shoulders, because death has been defeated. The Bible presents the greatest enemy to human flourishing as sin and death. These are not just things that happen to us, but powers that work against us, over which we don't have control. Without rescue, we're doomed. In his resurrection, Jesus defeats these two enemies, opening up a path to new life. This is the gift of the resurrection. And what a gift. Grace has a name, right? Grace has a name, and his name is Jesus. All we have to do is say yes to him. Receive him. Receive him. To know grace is to know God. And today is an opportunity to trust in Jesus, the resurrected God. And there's never a better time to receive him than now. Why not? Why not open your ears to hear him whisper your name? To give you a life, a hope, and a future that is better than you could possibly imagine. He's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, trust me with everything. And he's saying, why not now? Why not now? We're going to hear some stories, some incredible stories of some of these young people who have received this grace, who have opened up their hearts to Jesus, that have heard their name being spoken, and they have said yes to him, and the stories are amazing. We're going to hear it, and we're going to be baptized, that we're going to baptize them. And baptism, this water, this pool, is a sign and a symbol, basically, of what we're talking about. They've made a choice, as I said, to follow Jesus. And so what happens when they come into the water here is they go down into the water. And it is a symbol of them dying to their old life with Christ. They are dying to their old lives, and they are rising with Christ as they come back into this new humanity that we are talking about. But before they come up, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. I'm just going to read this passage. It's from the Message version. And if you've heard anything, hear this. This is the story. This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in a new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life, no longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this: if we get included into Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included into his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Amen.